Hello and welcome to episode 40 of One Rep at a Time by CultFit. So this week, we've been talking all about women's health, especially with a few topics like postpartum, PCOS, so on and so forth. So all of the episodes till now have just been me, based on my internet research, based on, of course, thorough vetting from the CultFit team as well. But to cap things off, I thought it would be good to have experts on the show. So that's what we're doing. So every Friday, we do an interview, and we're going to cap things off with two very special guests who, let's just say, are more than experts in their field. First is Dr. Tanushree Pandey Padgaonkar, who is a gynecologist and goes by the Instagram handle GynaGuru. These links are in the show notes for you. And the second guest I have with me is Vasudha Agarwal. Vasudha is a fitness coach, designer, and a freelancer. So we speak about many aspects of women's health, and we keep things centered to mostly postpartum and PCOS. And we answer a lot of questions regarding that, bust a few myths, and talk about their own personal experiences having dealt with and interacted with a lot of clients. So without further ado, let's jump right into this interview, and I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to One Rep at a Time, a podcast from CultFit that encourages you to become a healthier, better, and happier version of yourself by building small, sustainable habits. Let's welcome your host, Deepak Gopalakrishnan, or Chuck.
Hello and welcome to episode 40 of One Rep at a Time by CultFit. This week, we have been talking about several aspects of women's health. And to cap things off, we have two experts joining us, Dr. Tanushree Pandey Padgaonkar and Vasudha Agarwal. Tanushree is a practicing obstetrician gynecologist who goes by the Instagram handle GynaGuru. Oh, I got that right. Her handle has a lot of tips, myth busters, and often talks about topics many might consider taboo. I'd highly recommend everyone check that out. Tanushree, thank you so much for taking the time to appear on the show.
Thank you for having me over. Absolute pleasure.
Wonderful. Vasudha is a fitness coach and a designer. She is the founder of the Fit District and its division, TFT CrossFit. We'll speak about these things soon. And she is also passionate about getting people interested in freelancing. Something that we share in common, something I've been doing for a while myself, getting people away from the 9-to-5 madness. Or let's face it, 9-to-10 madness. She's Vasudha _ Agarwal on Instagram. All handles are in the notes of the episode. Vasudha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deepak.
Let's do this. So I love starting these interviews by just asking my guests about their journeys. I think it always provides a good starting point and context for listeners. So Tanushree, why don't you start? What got you to where you are today?
Wow, that's a pretty long journey. Yeah. Because as a gynecologist, I mean, it was first 12 years of school that we all do, and then after that, another 10 years of studying. But yeah, I think I always, what my mother told me that when I was 4, since then I couldn't even pronounce the word gynecologist, but I wanted to be something similar. And then grew up to just saying that I want to be that doctor that, you know, gets babies into this world.
That is amazing.
And then, of course, but as I studied, as I went through my journey, I realized that obstetrics and gynecology is so much more, because, you know, we are sitting at one point where we actually hear women from all spheres and all their problems. So it's just not a gynecologist perspective, but you actually have to be a counselor so many times. You have to be like a family physician so many times. And it is challenging, at the same time, really rewarding, because you connect with one mother or one female patient, and it's like you connecting to the entire family. Mm. So I think that is really gratifying. And then, of course, I mean, the whole zeal to, you know, I wouldn't just say that Ghisa Pita thing of, you know, I wanted to serve humanity. No, not just that, but really make a difference, you know, because when we were studying medicine, I knew infertility was a very challenging thing. So we were in that zone where PCOS, infertility, these things were not explored yet. And I really then found my interest and niche there. And right now also we have many challenges, But yeah, it's progressed a lot and we have answers to so many things that we didn't have answers to earlier. So I guess that's strong for me here.
Yeah, I think what I love about your answer is that you didn't exactly talk about the journey as such, but you talk about what motivates you and really what you're looking forward to in the future in some sense. Yeah. I think that's fascinating. And I'm assuming that you end up keeping in touch with a lot of your patients purely by nature of nature of the job, emotional investment, as it were. Wonderful. Vasudha, your turn.
So, Chuck, my journey has been very up and down when it came to being a health coach, because first of all, I am an Agarwal and that community didn't know about fitness coaching and all of that. So my journey was, I was fat, I was 78 kgs and I had to reduce, and that's how it all started. And I was really lost because back then, we are talking about 17 to 20 years ago, there was no such level of fitness that we have today, right? The vast variety. And I was very lost. I didn't know how to get started, what to do. And I think that's what motivated me to be who I am. And the other three principles that came along this journey was discipline. Of course, I didn't start with it. I learned over a period of time. Discipline, being consistent with that discipline and accepting everything, all the ups and downs that come on this journey is what I think got me over here. So when we talk about acceptance, it's about things not going your way, accepting, taking a step back and finding another way to achieve what you want to achieve. So I guess, yeah, the need to help people more precisely, the need to help people more holistically is what has got me where I am, along with the three principles.
Lovely. And I'm very happy that you actually mentioned the H word over here, because when I was going through both your Instagrams, I noticed that both of you use the term holistic a lot. I'm sure there are some commonalities and at the same time, some differences as well. So could you tell us what the term itself means to each of you, how you incorporate it into gynecology and fitness, you know, sort of like separately? Tanushree, you want to start?
Yeah. So thanks for noticing that, because I mean, we are, I think everybody who's into holistic approach of things, we want to tell the people that it's just not, I mean, don't come to me and accept that, you know, I'm just going to give you like a treatment for a certain thing, or rather tell you to do something. You know, most of the time what happens is the patient comes to you looking for support, and there are certain things that the patient has to do itself, but it has to come in later. Like Vasudha rightly said, that there has to be a lot of acceptance initially. There's going to be a lot of failure in that journey. And holistic, I think, sort of prepares me as a doctor and my patient as the person who's going to be receiving whatever they've come in return, in a very like a broad spectrum, not just medicines, not just information, but in fact, every which way. You know, if supposing we take, say, PCOS as an example, then it's going to be advice, it's going to be treatment, it's going to be nutrition, it's going to be, you know, if you need a dietitian, it's going to be how you can lose that weight, not just like, okay, fine, lifestyle modifications, go lose 10 kgs and come back to me. Doesn't work that way. How do I lose those 10 kgs, you know? So is that entire, I always like to call it like a full cycle, wherein we take baby steps together as a patient and as a doctor and reach our goal eventually.
Nice. Vasudha?
So Chug, I believe when we talk about holistic fitness or wellness, we are talking about plenty of aspects when it comes to our day, from building a good lifestyle, and lifestyle involves a balanced workout, a balanced diet, and meditation as a part of it, bringing that balance between work life, professional life, personal life, and also giving time for yourself, self-care. Now, the reason why holistic started for me was, once again, I was very lost in this journey. I never realized. So we had this misconception. Yes, I'm working out. I can eat everything. Or I can skip on working out, but let me just diet. And diet meant back then starving, you know, or not eating what you feel like eating. So a lot of such things came in place. And then you're like, okay, fine, I can sleep till late, wake up late, sleep doesn't matter. So again, once again, a lot of mistakes done over a period of many years. And then I realized the value of being holistic. So a balanced workout, that means cardio, strength, stretch and meditation, meals, macro and micronutrients, sleep, waking up on time, a body clock, body science, all of this played such immense role in my day. And today I want to just tell people, do it and see the difference. Mm. You can fight against anything if you have a very holistic approach to your lifestyle.
Yeah. You know, one thing, as I've been scripting episodes for the last 8 weeks or so, is that no matter what the starting condition is, whether it is to lose weight or whether it is for gut health or whether it is indeed in the context of women's health for losing weight by PCOS, etc., is that a lot of the advice just ends up being the sort of like the same, like exactly the points that you said right now. I was thinking back, oh, these are the exactly same things that I wrote about, okay, how to maintain a good gut, for instance. It's like there's no different advice for, having a good gut versus getting good sleep, whatever. It's like there are these five or six principles in terms of eating well, sleeping well, et cetera, all these sort of things. And they all sort of have compound effects onto everything. It's very unlikely that you have a super healthy gut, yet you are not sleeping well. So I kind of understand where both of you are coming from when it comes to this term called holistic. And it's interesting, right? Because even in the business world right now, they're talking about things that way, that managers need to look at things holistically. They need to think of the impact of this, not just on their vertical, but on everything else, etc. It's kind of interesting how the world is moving towards thinking about one thing, how it not just affects the direct thing that is supposed to impact, but also what are the second order effects of something like that. So I guess that's really where all this is coming from. Yes. Interesting. I always find this thinking of holistic quite useful, because it almost seems like it's a 1+1=3 sort of situation, right? You solve these things and you don't just get the output, but you get something more than that. It compounds in some sense. I guess that's where it's coming from. All right. So specifically, I'd like to speak to you about weight loss and fitness while having PCOS and postpartum. That's really what this conversation is going to be centered around. Earlier in this week, listeners would have already heard a lot of tips around these. And I think, let's face it, all the tips are going to come back to exactly what both of you just said a while back. So I don't want to delve too much into individual topics like, eat these kinds of foods, etc. But what I want to ask is, both of you as practitioners, have you noticed both of these issues that I just said right now, weight loss and fitness while having PCOS and postpartum, have you noticed this being more of an issue over the years? In the sense, are your clients more aware of this? Are they more comfortable talking about it? Are you surprised in some sense that, hey, I'm actually getting a lot more inquiries? People are being more open talking about these topics, anything of that sort? Are people more educated about it? So on, Vasudha?
I totally believe they are, Chug. It's nice that women are opening up about, or rather more than opening up, they are now aware that there is a condition like this which exists within us. And sometimes it's on a very small degree. Sometimes it's on a larger degree, depending on how their lifestyle has been since maybe childhood days, so it's nothing that happens internally or externally to our health and wellness or mind is one day work. Mm-hmm. It is over a period of many years that accumulates to get us to where we are, either the good or the bad. So it's really nice that women are aware of what is happening inside. It's nice that they want to progress, they want to make changes to their lifestyle to, do the needful. And therefore, when they come to train with us, or even not training, if they know that we are a coach and they like us, or they really get inspired by us, they're opening up that, hey, I am undergoing so and so things. What do I do? Or this is my lifestyle. How do I get better with it? It's extremely nice that they're doing it. So yes, it's good. It's awareness is building up.
Yeah, absolutely. The more we know our bodies, the better we are equipped to take action. Tanushree, your experience?
I would agree with what Vasudha said. Of course, at the same time, as a doctor, sometimes it gets frustrating because Google is your worst enemy. So what happens is they listen to all sort of things over the internet. Now there's 50% right, 50% wrong. They take everything in. They have made a diagnosis already. And then they come and they announce to you saying, I have this. Now you have to treat it because I know I have this. And then to first go around and say, okay, let's just go back to what you have actually. I mean, what symptoms are you facing? And then if you don't actually agree with them sometimes that, if I want to tell them, it's not always just plain PCOS, maybe we're looking at something, say hypothyroidism, or there's problems with the prolactin hormone or whatever. They just look at you and they're like, no, listen, I'm sure I have PCOS. So it's just like sometimes it gets challenging. And 80% of the times you have the patients and you'll sort of, you know, break it down for them. Right. And say, listen, this is how it is. And, you know, we need to investigate you further. And we just can't bombard you with medicines because you've decided you have it. Mm-hmm. 20% of the time, there's some people who are really adamant. And then that is where you have to understand that there's a reason why the internet didn't get the degree. And there's a person who you want to, you know, gone into details of it, yeah. The depth of it. So it's a flip side. Awareness is always good. So I would prefer it this way always. I mean, it's better that people are aware, ask questions. But you just have to know that when you're trusting a certain person,
yeah,
believe it and let them decide, you know, and together we'll reach the diagnosis. Don't worry, but just don't come with a fixed picture in your head that this is what I have, not treat me or I'll go to some other doctor. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah, yeah. Without fail, every doctor who has appeared on the show I have spoken to before expressed frustration at how people sort of like self-diagnose themselves. So in fact, this reminds me, this is totally apart from deviating from the conversation, but it reminds me of a campaign that a hospital in Romania, I think, had done a few years ago to tackle the scourge of Dr. Google, where they got some patients in and they gave them a medical exam and said, and none of them were doctors or medical students, obviously, but they used Google to find the answers and many of them failed. So the end point being that Dr. Google would actually fail a medical exam. And that I thought was a very interesting way to bring about awareness for that campaign, awareness about this. But yeah, I absolutely totally understand. And I myself have to Google many symptoms for have to refrain myself from Googling symptoms for cats and why they behave in a certain way, especially because that's even less information that's available online. All right. So Tanushree, from a gynec point of view, what advice would you have for someone who has PCOS and is looking to lose weight, not in terms of the individual activities as I said they'd like to do, but I want to approach this slightly differently. I like to think that there are certain individual factors and variables that come into play, like questions you need to ask yourself that determine what need to be done and things like that. So anything of that sort, like, hey, the it's sort of like what I'm trying to get at is, what are the questions that people need to ask themselves in some ways when they have PCOS and they're looking to lose weight?
Right. So I think it's a very nice question to ask, because this is the question that every PCOS or anybody who's mm-hmm. struggling with weight issues ask themselves. What they need to understand, first of all, is stop the blame. Because, you know, when a patient comes to you, they're blaming themselves constantly. Mm-hmm. That I'm not being able to lose weight because it's my fault. I'm eating more, or, you know, I'm not going to the gym, I'm not exercising. So 70-80% of the times these patients have tried enough.
Yeah.
It's because of the insulin resistance, the hormonal imbalance, a whole lot of things. So it's a vicious cycle, you know. PCOS worsens weight, weight worsens PCOS. That's how it is. And you have to break it somewhere. Now, there are two ways of handling it. One, if you're in the initial phase of the disease and you've just sort of developed symptoms, it's slightly easier for you to start managing your lifestyle at that point. Reason being, because you haven't gone that far, your syndrome hasn't progressed to that level, your hormones are still somewhat balanced, and you will respond better right now, whether, you know, it's the 30 minutes workout that you're trying to do, or you're trying to eat sensibly. But then there's a point when sometimes it's been there for 10 years, 12 years, you haven't been able to control it. And now, even if you try your level best, you know, you're going to put in your 100%. I've seen women going to the gym in the morning, then going to work, then go to the gym in the evening on a calorie deficit diet and still being like, you know, the weighing scale is just not nudging. So then, of course, you know, it's your hormones that have been deterred for a long time now, and have patience. So let us intervene. Let the hormones come in. Something that took 10 years to worsen is not going to show results in 10 days.
Mm.
You know, we want quick results, results. Everything is quick these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to be patient with yourself, go through that process. And like, it's life, like Vasudha said, you know, we all have ups and downs. And that way your journey is going to have ups and downs. So some months you're going to come back and be like, oh, you know what? I lost 3 kgs. Or, you know, I didn't get a single zit. My hair fall is so much better. There's going to be some personal stress. There's going to be some professional stress. It's just going to go back and you're going to feel miserable one fine day. And you're going to be like, no, you know, I was working on myself for 6 months. Here I am and nothing's really changed.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to concentrate on those baby steps. That, no, I didn't, you know, I didn't cry today in the morning. I looked at myself in the mirror and I felt better. Or, you know, I just felt more confident, even though my clothes fit me the same way. But when I went out of the house, I just felt more confident about myself. And those are little victories that you have to concentrate on, which are same for everybody. I think we all do it, you know, in our personal spheres. And that holds true with this journey as well.
Lovely. Vasudha, more or less the same question for you from a exercise fitness point of view. What would you recommend? Like, what are the specific variables or questions to ask oneself? Like, for example, different people might have different goals, for instance. So any thoughts on that?
So, Chuck, first thing is just what Tanushree said, very precise. You know, it's absolutely right that one must be patient towards everything that they have, whatever the goal is or whatever the symptoms they are going through. Second important thing, again, just what you said initially, or what I said initially, was no matter what your body is going through, if you just work consistently with discipline, building a very good balanced lifestyle, you can overcome anything. So many clients of mine who have not seen changes for many years, but just by making necessary changes in the lifestyle and being disciplined and consistent and patient and accepting towards everything, they have seen massive changes. And another thing, when it comes to goals, we have to set short-term goals, long-term goals. Your short-term goals should be very realistic, where week one, week two, you're only focusing on being consistent with your routine, what you have decided. That's it, nothing beyond that. And once you are consistent, then you can target per month, maybe to start with 2 kgs. You know, very realistic goal and very, very doable, no matter from which background you're coming from, whether PCOS or postpartum, whatever it is. And once the consistency and intensity builds up, now you can, you know, set more goals, better goals, more intense with your goals. And over a period of time, by the end of 6 months or a quarter or a year, you would have achieved your long-term goal. You know, so coming back to this, just work on building a good lifestyle.
Wonderful.
Your lifestyle, workout, nutrition, sleep, self-care. So if, like Tanushree said, you want to feel confident, you want to feel great about yourself, all you have to do is just give that 5 minute time to yourself, to your mind, to your body, to your skin, to your happiness. And nobody can stop you from anything.
Yeah, wonderful. This actually answer actually segues beautifully into what I wanted to ask you both next, which is, okay, now this might be a very uneducated male asking a very noob thing sort of thing, but it seems to me that a lot of advice for women who are looking to lose weight while having PCOS is just good general advice for anybody looking to lose weight. Mix up strength and cardio, eat healthy, get your proteins, hydrate, sleep well, so on and so forth, right? Everything that we've spoken about till now. Is my reading correct or am I missing a nuance here? Is there something, for example, that is PCOS specific when it comes to nutrition, fitness or overall health? Is there something like, for example, a woman who has PCOS would not be given to me, for instance, right? So is there a nuance I'm missing over here or is it just a matter of doing the basics well? Like, could there be like a limit to working out or signs to watch out on certain foods to avoid if you have PCOS, anything at all which separates, like, okay, this is very PCOS specific, whereas it is just, hey, good nutrition. If you just follow these 5 basic things, then they will work no matter what or what you have or what you don't have. So I just wanted to know if I missed a nuance somewhere in all the reading that I did.
Yeah, so I think in most cases, you're right. These basic principles work well. And specifically, now if we come to PCOS, you have to understand most of these patients, they are dealing with insulin resistance, which is where their sugars surge up. So, or they suddenly go into hypoglycemia. So herein, you have to understand things like intermittent fasting, things like a crash keto or something is not going to be ideal for these people,
right?
Because they're dealing with a lot of cravings as it is. Now, if you put this person suddenly into, you know, don't eat for 15 hours, 16th hour, they're going to be miserable. No matter what you do, that tiny pastry that they see in the fridge, they are going to eat it. If it is not there, they're going to swiggy it. Believe me. Because, you know, I am somebody, I've dealt with lean PCOS myself. So first of all, it's a myth that, you know, there's a certain way a PCOS patient has to look. Lean PCOS is one of the most difficult things to handle because you don't understand that you have PCOS. Your doctor doesn't understand initially that you have PCOS, but you have all the symptoms. So I know what cravings actually mean when, you know, your insulin surges. And that is one thing. So no intermittent fasting. Why do I say that don't go into a very, like, you know, high fat, high protein diet? Is simply because so many times these are the patients who have cholesterol or lipid profiles also deranged. So I don't want them to go into like wherein there is too much of protein, too much of fats, and then no carb or whatever. So I think a basic balance, obviously I understand that there'll be certain calorie cut. It has to happen. Otherwise you won't lose weight, but slowly, slowly, slowly. So we can't go in as drastic as you would with somebody, you know, who's just come casually to you saying, I want to lose 5 kgs because I have a wedding to attend. You can go very harsh with them because they'll do it. Ho jayega. But yahan pe where it's a lot of weight to be lost or then a lot of lifestyle that has to be changed. We need to go like baby step at a time. That's it. Otherwise, I think everything can be done.
Got it. Vasudha?
Absolutely. I think Tanushree has covered a major part of the nutrition bit, important factors. But when it comes to the workout, so since Tanushree has spoken about the diet, let me speak about the workout. Many times, like Tanushree said, we don't understand what is happening because there is no look and feel to PCOS. That you have to be a lot more aware about things that you're doing, what is not reacting to the effort that you are putting in.
Yeah.
And then over a period of time, being aware of what is helping, what is not helping, you understand that, hey, I'm doing this, but I'm not getting the result. I'm being patient. I'm being disciplined. I'm being consistent. And that's when you start to analyze that maybe there is something more deep that I need to understand about my body.
Right.
And once you get that understanding, I would still say that if your intensity of the workout was towards an intermediate or an advanced level athlete, please continue with it. I have seen a lot of members who have just got to know that, hey, I have PCOS. Okay, I'm not supposed to do this, 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 this. That should not. So don't change anything about your body. You don't treat yourself like a patient. You be normal. You do everything that you have been doing and do a lot more for that particular symptom that you are facing. Things will automatically sit in place. So from a workout perspective, if you are new to workout, of course, start slow. Do a lot of different kinds of workout like strength, yoga, cardio. See what's really working for you better and then add more of that in your week. We will go to more specific weight-related or strength-related goals later once you have got into the routine. But for now, just do what you have to do. So overall, coming back to you, no, Chug, you have not missed out on anything that you mentioned. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but maybe just being more goal-oriented, keeping your body type, keeping your genes, keeping your lifestyle in mind, and now catering to it more specifically. But when we talk about specifically, maybe some ups and downs with food. I might tell you, Chuck, you can reduce carbs and add more protein. But overall, everybody, you, me, Tanushree, all of us should have a balanced meal.
Right.
Goals are different. Symptoms are different. Body type is different. But lifestyle is important.
Fantastic. So now let's shift our attention to postpartum, the second part of what I want to talk about. And I think the first most important question is, and obviously the internet is extremely divided about this issue, when is a good time to start a fitness routine post having a baby? And importantly, what can moms do in the interim, apart from, of course, celebrate and adapt to their new lifestyle and all that? So Tanushree, you want to start this?
Yeah, so I think, again, this is one of my most favorite questions. And the journey goes back to, in fact, prenatal, not even antenatal. So prenatal is before you conceive, antenatal is when you are pregnant, and postpartum, of course, is after you've delivered. So anybody who's planning to conceive, and if you already think, or your doctor has told you, or you know, your nutritionist has told you that there is a certain weight category that you should try and come into, or you know, there's diabetes you're dealing with, there's thyroid disorder you're dealing with, give yourself 6 months and try to first control it as much as you can, because pregnancy worsens everything. That's a fact, you know, because it's a physiological condition. Mothers will aggravate whatever they're going through. So if it's hypertension, it'll only get worse. If it's diabetes, it'll only get worse. Thyroid, worse, like that. So if you've controlled it, great. If you haven't been able to, and if you get pregnant, and now that you are already pregnant, go and ask your doctor the first thing, which BMI category do I come into and how much weight do I need to gain? Because gone are those days when you have to have GK laddu and you have to drink ghee and bathe in ghee, I don't know, and you know, gain 20 kgs in pregnancy. You don't have to. So if I talk about a normal BMI, we are only looking at say 11 to 16 kgs max, upper okay. limit. If it's somebody who's dealing with a more greater BMI, it's even lesser. And so then you control that. Now, once you've delivered, you have gone through a crazy journey past 9 months. So firstly, know that you've already done enough in those 9 months. And just the fact that you're breastfeeding your baby is going to help you lose the weight. So calm down. You feeding your baby, you're already doing 50% of what you had to start doing. So when we say that rest for 6 weeks, let your uterus heal. If you know you're somebody who's gotten vaginal stitches, which is an episiotomy, all these things need a minimum of 6 weeks to heal. That's the reason we tell them to even abstain from sex for 6 weeks, because you don't want to give any sort of trauma to your body. Mm. And this is in general. Now, if you've gone through some other complication, of course, the time is going to be greater. But mostly after 6 weeks, we sort of do an examination as gynecologists. We check your uterus. If it's, you know, a C-section, we check the scar. If it's a normal delivery with a stitch, we check the stitching. Once we've seen in 6 weeks that everything's healed properly, we tell you to start and always start slow and steady. First, start with your mental exercises, because postpartum blues are the scariest thing.
Interesting.
Nobody wants to talk about it. The moment the babies come in, the attention of the husband, the family, the parents, the friends, all goes to the baby. Mother is nicely forgotten. That is unfortunately the hardcore truth that happens with everybody. So you have to treat postpartum blues just as intensely as you would treat any other mental condition, you know, like you would treat a patient with depression or any of that. Give yourself that time. Take therapy if you have to. Don't feel shy. You know, I was absolutely fine and suddenly I've had a baby. I should be happy. But here I'm thinking about therapy. You are normal. Mm. 70% of women want to seek therapy after they've had that baby. And they're like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do with this thing now? So it's normal. And then probably after 6 weeks, take proper help and baby steps at a time. Go ahead and start your journey.
Perfect. Like literally baby steps after having a baby. Lovely. Yeah. What's your take on this? And like what, again, nutrition, fitness, what should a workout routine, if at all one happens, what should it look like? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think first thing, as a coach, I will always ask them, have you got a yes from your doctor, from your gynec? You know, has your gynec said, hey, you're good to go? And once she says that, yes, I am good to go, my gynec said I can get started with my journey, then our next step as a coach, when it comes to working out or the fitness part of it, is to bring that posture back in place, because the center of the gravity changes of the body. They're always leaning back. And now the lower back, if somebody who is a layman who has never worked out before, they will have a weaker lower back because they've been leaning back throughout, right, to support the baby's weight. So the first step as a coach that we do is get them started with breathing, which again helps them to calm down with the mind that's racing, you know, on many subjects, not just taking care of the baby or adapting to the new lifestyle. But of course, I think as humans, we all need attention. And when we are deprived of it, we do for some time feel very lonely or sad. So mind work through the breath and basic walking and a lot of posture correction through very, very basic strength training and stretching is how we start them with. And eventually, once over a period of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they start feeling comfortable. And once again, a new mom finds it so hard to find time for herself, right? Because she's still catering to all her old jobs plus the new baby. So if she can manage even 3 hours in a week for her health, that's fabulous start. And then once she has got into that routine of 3 hours in 3 weeks, I mean, in a week, into 3 weeks, then we can slowly push her to doing the same thing with a little more intensity. And she'll not even realize when she's back in form. And coming back to health, absolutely what Tanushree said, gone are the days when you have to eat this and that and load your body up with a lot of things. You just have to continue to eating the same things that you were eating when you were not pregnant or when you were pregnant or now, you know. Basically, what I'm trying to say is don't let your pregnancy make massive changes in your lifestyle. You should work out. Of course, the intensity varies, and your gynec has to approve to every phase and stage of your pregnant phase. But do not make massive changes. Mm-hmm. No excessive bed rest, no excessive food prior to your pregnancy, after postpartum. Just be normal. In your mind, if you think everything is normal, it will be normal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all in our mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel that. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So I want to, now we'll move towards the sort of like the end-ish part of this conversation. And I want to ask a few broader questions to both of you. One is, I generally see a lot of discussion and conversations around PCOS and postpartum happening these days through mainstream media channel, content creators and professionals such as yourselves, cult making episodes like this, etc. What's your take on all this information out there? What's the good? What's the bad? And I think importantly, and I think Tanushree had answered part of this already before, how can women train themselves to filter out good information from the bad? I have a feeling Tanushree has just left the conversation, but hopefully she'll come back. So in the meantime, Vasudha, why don't you give us give us your take? How can women, I'll just let her in so we'll continue it together.
I'm so sorry.
No problem. Hey, no problem. Yeah. Brian, just take care of that in edit, please. There's a question that I had asked us. So there's a lot of information out there. Basically, how can women train themselves to filter out good information from misinformation? And this doesn't just apply to PCOS or weight loss, but pretty much anything out there, really. But let's keep it to fitness for now.
So I think there is a lot, like Tanushree mentioned, Google is just telling, sometimes I want to be very blunt with my clients too and tell them, if Google can do everything, then just rely on it. You know, tomorrow if you have a cut on your body, stitch it yourself, because YouTube will show you how to do it as well. You know, so while there is a part of Google that does give the right information, it's not always wrong. Or now social media does give the right information, but we have to understand anything that gives you a shortcut, please understand that it is already a fake thing.
Right.
You know, you have to be patient through whatever kind of healing or process or progress we are going through. Everything requires discipline, consistency, patience. And ups and downs are a part of it. If we are talking about weight loss, you will gain weight, you will lose weight, mm-hmm. you will add inches, you will lose inches, you will be motivated and you lack motivation.
Yeah.
It's a part of the game. And it's not that I'm talking on Tanushree's behalf as well. I'm very sure Tanushree and I also feel those days where we are demotivated from what we speak, right? But that's when discipline comes in. You mm-hmm. start to pick yourself up. So anything on Google and social media, if they tell you, starve yourself, don't eat this, you know, you will reach your goal. Obviously you will. If nothing is going in your body and the energy output is too much, what do you expect? You know, or they say shortcut. In 10 days, you will have this. Oh my God, these are the worst things. It doesn't work like that. If it would, I think every single person on this earth would have six-pack abs. Every single person on this earth would be a supermodel body kind of person. So no, it does not work like that. One step at a time is the right way to progress. Another thing that I would like to add over here is, when you progress one step at a time, the foundation is strong. The sustainability is always going to be there. The longevity is going to be there. But if you do shortcut, you will bounce out of it also very fast.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's important, right? All the fads, you lose it quickly, but you also gain it back extremely quickly. Tanushree, would you like to add something to that?
Yeah. Right. So just one thing that everybody needs to understand, whatever they see on social media is just 50% of what it is, right? There are so many times I'm telling you my honest truth. I have to record, say, 5 reels for the rest of 2 weeks. I've had a very bad day. I've cried in the bathroom. Now I can't get rid of that, you know, the eyes that I've created. So I'm putting in makeup and then I go online. I'm like, hey, let's talk about it. You have to do it because you have to show up. I mean, that's a community you've created. Does that mean I have all those, you know, people are telling me you're so bubbly all the time, you've gone through so much, you're still like that? No, I'm not. It's just mm-hmm. that I come and I show you my face for 15 seconds in a day. The rest of the 23 hours and whatever minutes are left, there's a lot of misery to it, a lot of happiness, everything mixed. So whatever you're going through, the influencer that you're sitting in front of is going through either that much or more or less, but basically it's the same journey. Number one. Number two, I think we all get overwhelmed. You know, if you suddenly start, like you said, you know, when you search for your cat, I search for my dog all the time and I get so overwhelmed. So I think one thing that I follow, now imagine you guys wanted health and, you know, fitness, everything together. So you called Vasudha and me because we came from two different spheres, but yet met. Now imagine suddenly I go back and just because I've heard some fitness things from Vasudha, start giving yarn about what you have to do in the gym and all of that. It's going to not go well. Similarly, vice versa. So when you're following an influencer or you're reading an article, always see the source. So a good way is if you're reading an article, there are references or who's written it is mentioned. Yeah. So if you want to know something about a particular, you know, maybe gynae related, just make sure it's a gynecologist speaking and not some influencer who's just come into the market 6 months back, trending and started speaking something. So that's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
The other way is if you're following a person, just make sure that person is actually educated enough to impart the knowledge that they are, whichever sphere. That way you stay on track, you don't get overwhelmed with everything that's there and don't misfollow things.
I think that's great advice, not just for fitness, but I think for so many other aspects as well. Well outside the scope of this show. So I want to take up something from there, and this is more on a lighter note sort of thing, and both of you express a lot of frustration. I'm sure clients have come to you saying, hey, I read this on the internet, is this true? If I eat only this during my pregnancy, will I lose weight or something? What are some of those things that people have asked you? What are the weirdest things that people have asked you, which really made both of you roll eyes, but go like, okay, wow, which sites are you getting this information from? Like anything at all? Like what are the weirdest things that people have asked you?
There are so many, Chuck. There are so many that suddenly nothing is striking me, but believe me, at least weekly, we have so many clients who want to, there's so much misconception about workouts, you know? I think first thing that I get in common is, I don't want to be bulky, therefore I don't want to lift weights.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, no, it's not so easy. Ask me. It's not so easy to bulk up just like that, you know? About that if I do excessive cardio, then that's the only way forward. But when you do excessive cardio, what about protection of your knees and ankles? Your spine and your other joints, you know, or if I will just do a protein diet, I will lose weight. But is it sustainable? You know, so it's the same thing, different ways you're being asked. Or the biggest thing is, I did the workout for 1 month. Nothing has happened. Harry, it doesn't happen like that, you know. So rightly, Tanushree said, it's taken years and years together to be where you are today. Mm. You can't expect it to reverse it in a span of 1 month or 3 months. Rather, that span is much longer than the time taken to be where you are. However, once again, I'm emphasizing, with discipline and consistency, you can make it faster with no shortcuts, baby steps, everything that we have spoken right now. So, yes, we do receive so many questions every single day, but you just have to be patient. You just have to be empathetic, because at least when I talk about myself, I was in the same journey. Mm-hmm. I am doing so much aerobics every day. I'm not losing weight. In that bargain, I ended up screwing up my ankles because now it's just cardio, and muscle loss was happening on a larger scale. So, you know, that is why we have to be very patient, because we have been there, done that kind of thing. And now, it's not wrong when they speak like that, but yes, educating them.
Yeah.
After that, it's their choice. Whether they listen, they don't listen, we can't do much on that.
Yeah. Tanushree, any weird questions?
You can write a book. But the thing is, you know, like Vasudha said, sometimes they also know that they are being stupid, but it's because it's going from the grandmother's time or the mother said or that Bajuwali auntie has said, so they're believing it. Like, you know, there's so many patients who come in the ninth month, and I tell them that because of a certain condition, it might be possible that we'll have to, you know, operate on you and do a C-section. They're like, okay, from today, my mother said I have to drink half a glass of ghee. I said, sorry, what? What's I going to do? It's going to lubricate the insides of me to get the baby out naturally. Now, just think about it logically. Ghee from the GI system, how is it going to reach the uterus to the vaginal canal, that they also don't know, I also don't know. So that is one thing that I think it just, I'm like, no, please, 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 please don't do it. The other, of course, you know, with pregnancy, they've been told they have to eat for two, they can't wash their hair. So many times women come with a lot of acne and I'm wondering, you know, what hormonal imbalance is happening during pregnancy suddenly is because they haven't washed their hair for a month.
Wow.
Because somebody said that in your pregnancy, you can't wash your hair, period. So then of course, the thing with whole, I'm on my period, so I'm dirty and I can't go to the temple while that thing happens. So then they try to eat all sort of weird things to delay their period or not get their period. Then they try to eat a lot of papaya and pineapple, overdose to abort their baby. So, you know, there are so many things that come in. They've actually been puking their guts out because they had 3 papayas in a single day and I think 2 pineapples. How do you have it? I don't know. But they've done it because they've been scared and probably somebody's told them that you can't go to the doctor or whatever. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of baggage that they come with. So a lot of hilarious things, but unfortunately, no matter how funny they sound at the basic level, there's a lot of baggage. So we do have to just realize at that point that, you know, I mean, imagine what she must have gone through. You have to eat 5 big gigantic fruits in one day.
Yeah.
So just, you know, be like, okay, no, this is not how you do it. And okay, let me take it from you.
Yeah, we'll read the rest of it in the book that you invented. I think that's a nice title as well. Half a Glass of Ghee and Other Stories by Shripa.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So I have a couple of final questions, which are kind of different again from the conversation we've been having so far. And actually, Tanushree, touched upon this a little bit. It's really about the two of you specifically, and both as practicing professionals in very serious fields and yet maintaining such engaging social media presences. I'd really love to know how that's working for you. And isn't it just a lot of work to having to constantly create entertaining and knowledgeable content together around difficult fields? Like, it's not like, I mean, these are challenging fields that both of you work in, and yet you do such a good job of deconstructing it, creating, putting tips together in interesting formats, figuring out how to work reels into this. So I mean, this is honestly not so much a discussion so much about the topic that we came to talk about, but I'm really curious how you as working professional kind of managing that aspect as well. And it's sort of, to me, as an external observer of these things, it's kind of similar to how musicians today have to not just create music, but also how to create the viral TikTok moment, as it were. So I'd just love to know your take on this.
There are two sides to it. When I talk about my daily lifestyle has time allocated for Instagram.
Okay.
Like, it's a part of my job, I feel, right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, the good side of it, the second part of it, is it's really nice that now there's so much knowledge we can give out to our members, to our fitness enthusiasts who genuinely want to progress, you know, and not rely on finding a coach, booking a time with that coach and trying to. So it's so quick that Tanushree, I love your content. You know, you spoke about this and I don't have to wait for an appointment. I can immediately DM Tanushree, and when she has time, she can reciprocate back to my message with the valuable information that one needs. So I feel if we use social media well, you know, and if we really follow the right content, I'm not going to say right people, but if we follow the right content, mm-hmm. then there is so much to take back with us. And as someone, as an Instagram or a social media person present over there, well, I find it joy when I upload a content which has really good content for people. And when they reply back saying that, hey, this has been such an inspiration or a very good content, you know that you've done something good. But also, it is challenging when you know you have to take out time to be active, you know, or to do this. So I'm on a holiday, but I'm still making sure my stories are going on just to show that, hey, you know what? Your holiday can also be fitness and fun and need not be just chilling on the bed all the time. So yeah, it has its both pros and cons.
Yeah, I can imagine, Tanushree.
Right. So I think, you know, for me, when I started Instagram, I was very dicey myself also because, you know, there were not too many doctors at that point. And I didn't know.
Oops.
I would do as an influencer in myself, like, you know, that leverage that if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's okay. And then that, for me, I think the people out there gave me so much of love that that is my motivation. So I'm not saying that I do good all the days. I'm not a very organized influencer. If you see through my page, it's very obvious. Some days I'll upload two things in one single day because I have the time. And then one week I don't get the time to upload anything. But I think the community that I made around myself understands that my primary profession is something else. This is only because I really am creating this visibility. Having said that, they have done a lot for me too. You know, 2021 was a very hard year for me. I lost my mother. Then I lost my father-in-law. I went through a lot of mental trauma. And I isolated myself for the longest time, you know, because I took my time to heal because I lost my dad earlier. And I knew that I had not given myself time then. So I think the only way I had connect to whatever reality was through Instagram. You know, I would upload like the rawest of things and yet get on. So it's, I used to feel very vulnerable at that point that, you know, I'm so vulnerable. What if I get a bad comment? You know, I'm posting about my personal life, a loss. What if somebody comes and, you know, just laughs about it? But no, people are actually kinder than I thought. So I think, you know, an influencer also gets a lot in return. So it's just not us giving to the society, it's the society giving us back. And it feels beautiful. I love it.
That's wonderful. Firstly, thank you for constantly sharing vulnerable stories like this on this show itself. I think it's just wonderful. And I would not worry about, you know, inconsistency in terms of posting. I always think that that's really where that authenticity comes in, right? Hey, if you don't feel like posting today, then you don't. You're not beholden to a schedule that, you know, I have to post every day or my followers are going to go away or something like that. But it's kind of fascinating, right? I understand comedians doing it. I understand musicians doing it. But seeing this new wave of doctors and fitness enthusiasts and trainers doing this, it's kind of interesting to see how everybody is kind of content marketing in some way and how that's kind of like become part of the job. I wouldn't be surprised if MBBS courses in a few years now have how to maintain an online profile or something like that. Not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it seems to be the direction which we are sort of heading towards. All right, last question that I have for both of you, and this is one that I specifically need to ask. I've been encouraging men to listen into the women-centric episodes as well this week. I think my gender could certainly use all the education we can get on many of these topics. So all my questions till now have pretty much been aimed towards women. But for this last one, any tips for the men that are listening in? Any way in which we can make the lives of our, you know, female better halves or our moms, sisters, etc. better?
Okay. Very, very simple answer to this, Chuck. Little empathy, little understanding, lots and lots of love, and lots of hugs will make her day the most fabulous day, especially during these low days, whether it's postpartum blues or whether it is during the periods, those 2-3 days. You know, many women have severe cramping or low mood, you know. So even if you don't understand what is happening inside her, if you can just be kind, extra kind during those 2-3 days and just hold her and sit her, you know, whether it's mommy or sister or friend or girlfriend or wife, that's all she wants.
Brilliant. Tanushree?
Yeah. So I think just the way Vasudha's already made us all know anything. But yeah, like, I mean, it's not imaginary. And the, you know, the changes that she's going through are at a very hormonal level, at a level where even she's not being able to handle it. So like, you know, Vasudha said empathy and love and hug and, you know, avoid that thing. Are you, Ash, you know, you're looking a little fat today. or what is wrong with your skin, yeah? I mean, you know, you've said it and you walked out and she's thought about it entire day and blamed that, you know, today I'm wearing the thinner. Actually just came and he's like, oh, you know, what's wrong with you looking looted? So just thoda sa, just avoid it. And you can joke about it at a later date.
Yeah, wonderful. No, this has been amazing. I think this is one of the best 10 a.m. interviews that I've ever done on a Sunday. So I need to thank both of you again, Vasudha, for doing this during your holiday. So special thank you for that. Tanushree, this is a thank you for revealing so much. I mean, I genuinely felt like a very warm interview throughout. But yes, thank you so much for taking the time. Both of you, you spent almost an hour talking about all these various issues. So thank you so much once again for appearing on the show and hope to have you back at some point of time.
Thank you so much, Deepak. It was fun. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. And that's it for this episode of this podcast. I hope that interview was enlightening, not just for the women, obviously, but also for the men. I
think we all could learn something new. So as always, if you'd like to say hi, my details are in the notes of this episode or the description of the video. And I'll see you here next week with another theme, with many more topics to explore as we see how to get fitter and live a healthier life. So remember, like your exercise routine, take life one rep at a time. This is your host Deepak, aka Chuck, signing off. Bye.
You've been listening to One Rep at a Time by Cult Fit. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're looking for sustainable weight loss coaching, check out the Cult Transform program on the Cult Fit app or website. See you on the next episode.